Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Lord is a good God. Amen. He's been very, very gracious to each and every one of us. You know, I was ministering over in Oklahoma many years ago. I guess I'd have to say it's been probably close to 25 years ago. Makes me feel kind of old. But I'm just saying that I was ministering to church and I didn't know the people. Never been in the church before. The Lord gave me a word of knowledge of a man sitting out about midway. He does that often. I very seldom call people out anymore. And I do on occasion. I try not to. I think it's good to do that. But then there's times that I just refrain. But I called a man out sitting in the church and he was visiting. I didn't know that. I thought he was one of their people. Had a woman with him he was shacked up with. Man hadn't been living right and been out of church for years. And I pointed him out. I said, sir, you got a calling in your life. You're supposed to be preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I lost the whole congregation. You say, is that why you quit calling people out? No. If that was the reason, I would be calling more people out. But he had a faithful brother. This man, it was his little brother, and he'd been faithful in the house of God, and he wanted the calling. He wanted to be the one called, he wanted to serve the Lord as a minister. And what he wanted to do, and the church was pushing for that, and prompting him, and prepping him, and doing everything they could. And then some preacher comes through town, and he points the man out, and says, you got a calling in your life to preach the gospel. Now, if I would have said that to his brother, the whole church would have jumped up and shouted and said, hallelujah, praise God, amen, and glory to God. But I called out the drunk, the whoremonger. You know what he did? Man gave his life to the Lord and recommitted his life. Started lining up and started fulfilling the work of the ministry. You know, see, it's God's way. It's God's people. It's God's choosing. But sometimes we have an idea. Well, I think it would be this one over here. Had a man come into church here a few weeks ago. He looked pretty rough. He's all marked up, tattooed up, hair long, piercings. Looked pretty worldly to me. I don't believe in that stuff. Bible teaches us not to mark our bodies. I got plenty of people in here. I can name several in here tonight that's got tattoos on them. I love you. Doesn't change the fact. I'm just saying I'm called to preach the gospel. If we can cover the stuff up, we do. You know, if it's from our former lust or former life, we cover those things up. We have no business doing those things. There's a church up here in Springfield, Missouri, one of the most well-known Pentecostal churches in the country, Assemblies of God, and they got one of their churches in their headquarters, Springfield, Missouri, got tattoo artists on their payroll in their church doing tattoos. So what do you think of that, Brother Rob? I think it's an abomination in God, and I believe that God will blow on them and their organization for making allowances for that kind of ignorance. And you say, you're just too judgmental. Well, praise God. I'm glad somebody can still judge by the mind of Christ. Amen. I'm called to judge. You know I could come in here and encourage you. Praise God. God's so good. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Been filled with the Holy Ghost. Glory be to God. Man, I'm walking in the power of God. You know, amen. I like that too. But, brother, we got to get indoctrinated. Now, the thing is when I start out speaking like this, I'm thinking about going into a church and calling out a man that looked like that would be the least. And then there's some guy that comes walking through the door and he looked like he came out of the biker bar and out of a bike club and he's got his hair long and tattooed on. I said, hey, and I shook his hand and said, you look like a preacher. He looked at me like, yeah, right. You think, well, Brother Ralph, you're against all this stuff. Why would you pick out the one man? Because there's times that people go off into rebellion, into the world and into the ways of the world, and they get their eyes opened up and they turn and say, you know what, I've had enough of this. I got a phone call from a man today. I was on the phone with him for 2 hours and 55 minutes. I don't always keep track of how long I'm on the phone with people, but sometimes I get long phone calls. Sometimes I get to ministering, counseling, talking about the things of God, and time will go by like that. This individual has been nothing but a sot, a drunk. But he's a working man. And I don't want to sound offensive. You don't know who I'm talking about, and you know, that would maybe even offend him if he heard me say something. He might be on the internet with us tonight. And he'd have to say, yes, the brother's right. And when I say that, he's not been such a drunk he can't hold a job. He's a working man. When I was in the world, man, before I got born again, I would go out and dope and drug and drink and do different things. I'd be at the airport the next morning working, holding down a job. I could remember flying an airplane with such a hangover state, thinking this is stupid. The alcohol ain't out of my system, man, from the ignorance of the night before, and flying an airplane and thinking, man, I'm putting myself or my family or different things in harm's way. I'm talking about the ways of the world, brother. I'm not proud of those things or them days. By no means. But you know, when I had a heroin needle in my arm, you know what? I was called of God. And God had a calling in my life and a plan for me. Are you thankful for a God? Are you thankful for a God that could look beyond your failures and your weaknesses and draw you and pull you out of those things? Amen. And we need to be careful and need to be sensitive. But again, as this individual I spoke with, I got to speaking with him, and he said, I wanted to call you. You see, it pays, brothers and sisters. This man, I haven't had really any fellowship with him in years. Took him over to Colorado. We was over there building a church. Spent about 3 or 4 days with me. Previous to that, about 5 years previous to that, his mother and father were in a divorce, and they came and stayed with us for a short time. But he calls up and he says, I got some questions for you. I need some answers. And he's asking me questions about religion and about things. He says, you know, I got hurt in church. He said, you know, I was going to an Assembly of God church, and the pastor was involved in immorality. You know, and he expressed it in his own kind of ways and things. And he said, then I was in another one and the pastor got caught for stealing. And he goes, I've had some really terrible problems. And I said, yeah, my heart goes out to you. I did too. I'd had some real terrible things take place inside the ministry of working with ministers and pastors. When I got born again, brothers and sisters, something took place in my life. I didn't continue to drink. I didn't continue to smoke. I didn't continue to do things. Yeah, I had an old spirit of my own man, Rob Coons, we could say. That old man was laying there with his nature, with his ideology, I might say, with his carnality, with his overconfidence, with his angers and his tempers and those things. Yeah, it was there. The day I got born again, no, those things all didn't leave. I had to fight that guy. I had to learn to fight against him. I had to learn that he had his own mind and God had another mind. So, you know, there was a travail still in it, still struggling, still pressing, still pushing. And I know the Bible said all men's hearts are fashioned alike. I know when I talk to people what their struggles are. I know what they're up against. You understand that? If you were an alcoholic and I was an alcoholic one time and I conquered it, and you're telling me now, and I say, I know what you're up against. I've been there. And there's things, brothers and sisters, that we understand and that we know. I had a calling in my life and I traveled state after state searching for a minister to help me. I would go and I'd submit here and I'd submit there and I'd get hurt and get cheated and get robbed and I'd see immorality and things that would break my heart. I ran from them. And then the Lord stopped me one day and said, no, you got to stand against this. You got to stand up. You can't be moved. Because I was bringing people into works, and then I'd find out it was corrupted, and I'd run and leave the people there. I preach strong. I don't cut no slack. I've seen what cutting slack does. I see when you make a little allowance is what it does. The Bible says you spare them, they become a prick in your side. Does anybody know what it's like to have a prick in your side? We can make arrangements. Amen. Again, speaking with this individual, he's a good businessman. I was a good businessman. Built strong businesses, made good money. But you know, there's something that goes so far beyond that. In the religious realms, the churches, they'll look for a deacon in the church. You know how they choose a deacon? Not by the scriptures or the word of God. They'll choose a deacon because this is a good man. He's an honest man. He's a good businessman. He keeps his good name within and without. And those are all good characters and qualities. And they should have that. But that's as far as they go. He's a good businessman. He's got a good name in the town. You know this, and they choose him to be a deacon. And they're not altogether wrong. But it goes farther beyond that. The Bible said they must be a man filled with the Holy Ghost. But you know, we've depreciated what being filled with the Holy Ghost is today. Let me ask you a question. Can a man have the same spirit that Jesus Christ had and walk in the ways of this world? There'd be something wrong there. But then yet we've got multiplied hundreds of thousands of people that are calling themselves Americans, that are calling themselves Christians, and some will even say, I'm born again. But don't you think if I said that I'm born again, there should be something to bring forth a fruit? Don't you think there should be something to make me line up with the attributes of the Lord? If you're born again, the Bible says without His Spirit, you're none of His. Now I know we Pentecostals, sometimes we seem to put a differentiation between being born again and being filled with the Holy Ghost. And that's just the standard doctrine and teaching and stuff that you can get saved through a confession with your mouth. But then there's a gift of the Holy Ghost that you must receive. There's some fine lines right there of understanding. But when the Bible says without His Spirit, you're none of His. What is His Spirit? It's the Holy Ghost. Is that right? So the thing is if you got born again, you received that Spirit. Now there's a measure that you receive. When a child's born, I could say, this is my son. He might be soiled in his diaper. He might be not able to walk yet. This is my son, naturally speaking. The Lord can grant me His Spirit. As we find out that the child turned over in the womb when Elizabeth and Mary met to come together, you see, there was something already in the makings there. There's something in the foreknowledge of God. There's something in the predestination. And if you're predestined to walk in the Spirit of God, predestined to be birthed into the kingdom of God, there's going to be something that's drawing you. Now, I could go back and testify about my worldly days of being in the world, the drinking and drug, but there was something in my spirit that wouldn't let go. Now, I could have pressed over that. And I could have been cut off from God. But the Bible says to make that calling and that election sure. What is the election? It's predestination. You're the elect before the world ever was. He said, I saved you when you were still in your sin. Put your name in the book of life before the world ever was. As this gentleman said today, he goes, well, I figured some things out that whatever is going to be is going to be. He said, I've been through some hardships, some suffering, some terrible things, but it's brought me to where he could start looking for God. The Bible said, ye that suffer in the flesh cease from sin. Well, is he right? I can say, yes. Now, he is, in part. So, well, if I'm predestined in God and I'm the elect of God, that's what it is. If I'm not the elect of God, predestined in eternal damnation, so be it. Give me another joint, give me another beer, give me another snort, give me another whore. You know? I mean, I'm just talking to you. I talk kind of plain. I know I offend people all the time. I talk plain. They'll go watch some filthy, perverted movie. They'll go watch some beast at a football game, a basketball game, or a baseball game. They'll watch the whores get out there and kick up their heels. They call them cheerleaders. You say, well, you can't call them that. Well, they look like them. Sorry. If it looks like a pig and oints like a pig and smells like a pig, what is it? Okay. Well, I'm sorry. I'm just saying, I know I offend people. I ain't got time for that stuff. But you know, if it's offensive by me talking straight and kind of crude, you might say, the Bible said the minister's rude in speech but not in knowledge. To me, it's rude and crude to go watch a bunch of women strip themselves off and kick up their heels and sit and cheer a bunch of morons on running up and down a football field. You know, and I know I got little boys here and stuff. They go out and play baseball or football. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about adults. They ain't got no business out there watching that kind of stuff. Bible said when you become a man, you put childish things away. And I think it's kind of childish to go watch a bunch of guys go beat their brains out and pay them a bunch of money to do it and pay a bunch of harlots out there to strip off to keep the men coming and to keep lust going. I think it's the same way if you want to talk about the car races and stuff. You get a bunch of men out there and the mama's there and her son got killed 3 months ago or 2 weeks ago in a car wreck on corner 4 and she's out there cheering somebody else on for they could bash into the wall and they can go bury their son. I think it's a bunch of ignorance. Let's give Jesus a hand. Amen. And you say, well, I happen to know some people that race them cars that call themselves Christians. And I say, well, maybe they'll get their eyes open one day and come out of that foolishness. Amen. I'm not going to go to a football game. I'm not going to go to a basketball game, a baseball game. I'm not going to go no boxing match. Can you see Lord Jesus Christ sitting in a boxing match? Come on, punch his lights out. Could you see that? I'm asking a question. Come on now. Can anybody see Jesus at a place like that? I had a man one day that he was struggling with smoking and this and that. And I told him, I said, close your eyes. And he looked at me funny. I said, just close your eyes for a second. And I go, well, I want you to take you on a little journey here. I said, now just think about yourself. And I remember when I was over in Jerusalem and I went to the Sea of Galilee. I mean, I could not sleep at night. I was so excited about being there. And it was dark when we got there to Tiberias. I just could not wait for the sun to come up. So I didn't sleep good that night. And I was up 2 hours before sunup, but I'm walking on the Sea of Galilee. And I'm waiting for that sun to come up. I watched it come up. That's beautiful. And I really enjoyed that. I never lived over there, you know, and I was blessed to get to go. And I thought, you know, and I was going to suck up every minute of it I could. But I said, close your eyes. I want you to envision yourself on the Sea of Galilee. And I said, look, here comes Jesus. Can you see him? Now see, come on, you could do this with me, couldn't you? I could tell y'all, close your eyes. Can you see Jesus? I said, look. He's got a marble in his mouth and short pants. And all of a sudden you think, oh, wait a minute, you just messed up my vision. It don't fit, does it? Now, what makes you think that doesn't fit? It just doesn't fit, does it? So then why could I do that? Why would it be fitting for me to do it if I'm a son of God? Why would it be fitting to me to do it if I'm Christ-like? If he's Christ and I'm supposed to be Christ-like, then if we can't vision him doing that, then why can't we envision ourselves doing that? Because of lust, because of lasciviousness, because of being lukewarm, because being vomit on the tables of God. That's why we can do things like that. We've got so accustomed to making excuses for our lives, for our lifestyles. Why do you talk like this, Brother Rob? Because you're men, and I'm a man. And if we don't consider and examine and press and fight, you know, if we go to the religious realms and just get the ideology of standard religious people, then why did he call us a soldier? Because I don't see no fight in them. Are they fighting against the principalities of the spirits of wickedness and darkness? Have they entered into the travail? You know, we had a little sister here, have a little baby here just a couple nights ago. Brought in a little baby girl in. You know, and I got the phone calls, got the things, asked for praying, this, that, and it was a travail. 19 and a half hours of labor and body wasn't doing the things it's supposed to do. I know the terminologies, maybe it won't be appropriate to say, but her body wasn't doing the things it's supposed to do, so they did a C-section. But that doesn't change the fact that there was still a travail. Doesn't change the fact that the baby was still pushed down, little head was egg-shaped from the travail. It didn't change the fact that the mother wasn't wore out and totally exhausted, even though she didn't bring forth that way. But you see, the Bible says there's a travail in childbearing. So we look over as a natural woman and say there's a travail, but in the spiritual realm, we being Christians, and we're supposed to, Paul said, I travail until Christ be formed in you. Now if Paul did this, and Jesus was the firstborn of many brethren, do you think that there should be a travail in your life to bring forth Christ? Come on now, just talking with you. Or are you in one of these religious ideologies that, oh, praise God, I said this little prayer. Hey, there was 100,000 others of you probably at the same meeting with Billy Graham that said the same prayer, same confession with your mouth. Do you think Billy Graham had the power to bring life to you when he doesn't even know if hell is literal or not? Oh, you're not going to blast Billy Graham, are you? Well, he said he doesn't think it's necessary to believe in a virgin birth. If Jesus didn't come through a virgin birth, he's just like any other man. And your salvation is null and void. I don't have a problem standing before people and saying, my Lord Jesus Christ was birthed and he came through a woman that had nothing to do with the loins of a man or the blood seed of a man. She conceived of a child, brothers and sisters, as a virgin. I don't have no problem teaching that doctrine. I don't have no problem teaching that there is a spirit world of angels. Now see, he had a problem with that, even though he wrote a book on angels. So what are you doing? You're coming against this guy? It doesn't matter if I was or wasn't. I'm talking about, are you born again? But I'm talking about, this is a man that claimed to be probably one of the most spiritually recognized men in our day and hour. There's probably nobody that has been with more presidents than Billy Graham. There's probably been nobody that has had the hundreds of thousands of people standing before him and the thousands of people coming into the altars. But the Bible said they surpassed land and sea and made twofold more the child of hell. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. The Bible also says the ministers of Satan have transformed themselves into ministers of light and ministers of righteousness. That's what the Bible says. I'm not against Billy Graham. I can't put him in hell. I can't put him into eternal life in Christ. You might say, well, look at all of his exploits. But the Bible said they stood before him and he said, I never knew you. But I cast out devils. I've done this, I've done that. He said, I never knew you. They were cast into outer darkness. Billy Graham corrupted the religious status of the United States of America. And I know that sounds harsh. He gave people an ideology that you go to church and you say a prayer and you leave because you rehearsed a prayer with a preacher and you left, that you're born again. That is one of the biggest lies of demonic influence and the devil that ever came to America. You say, but listen, brother, you need to be careful. I know what Romans 9 and 10 says. I know what, you know, Romans 3:26 says and 3:23. I know the scriptures. And I know you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. But see, there's something that you need to learn about what it means to believe in your heart. When your heart is continually evil and wicked and you don't even know your own heart. If you want me to take you into the scriptures tonight and just tell you what man's heart does, it would scare the life out of you. God only looks on the heart. Well, if he's only looking on your heart, you're on your way to hell for a fact. Now, I know you got some Bible for some of that, and I do too. But we got to come to a revelation here. Man's heart. You know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak. Man speak abundance of foolishness and ignorance and ideologies of humanity. And out of the abundance of that heart, the mouth is speaking. You can perceive wickedness from the heart. This is where it comes forth from. And the thing is, it's not just a matter of a confession with your mouth. I could stand up here and confess with my mouth that I'm a gorilla. And I could keep confessing with my mouth. And I could believe I'm one. I could jump around like one, but I'm not a gorilla. Do you think because of your confession, Jesus Christ, the Bible said, is the high priest of my profession? That's what he says. So yes, I should have a profession in Christ. If a doctor, a natural doctor comes to me and he says, sir, I've looked at your lab results. Sir, I've looked at you and you're dying. And I said, let me tell you something, doc. That's your confession or your profession. I said, you know what mine is? Mine is in Christ. My Bible said that my God is a healer and a deliverer. And he's the same to every generation. He's still in the miracle business. My profession is that I'm well and I'm healed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what I choose to believe, sir. Now there's your profession. There's a profession of the works of Christ. Now I had opposition coming against me. And I've been in those places, you know it. Some of you have been here since I've been a pastor. I was diagnosed with hepatitis C. It's incurable. I no longer have it. They can't find it in my body. Why? Because I have a profession in Christ. And we believe in the faith of God. I'm supposed to be in a wheelchair driving myself with a little button. Driving around as a quadriplegic. Not even supposed to be alive. But I'm standing here in my own strength. And they said I'd never preach the gospel ever again. I'm preaching tonight. Amen. Why? Because I have a profession of Jesus Christ the same to every generation. He's still on the throne. He's still alive. He's still a God. Amen. Being in the affairs of humanity and mankind. He's still healing, still delivering, still setting free, still anointing, still filling people with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And still taking people and setting them apart and bringing them out of the world. The problem is today we've got a religion that doesn't get you out of the world. You've got a religion that's offering you everything the world's got to offer with a confession that Jesus is your God. He is your Lord. He's your Savior. And they're going to feed you the storybooks and say, oh yes, he come over here and he was born over here in a manger. He walked among men and he took himself to the cross and he was crucified and he was resurrected. If you can believe that, you're saved. The devil believes everything I just said. The Bible even goes on to say that the devil even believes with fear and trembling. And I don't even see the fear of God in people anymore. They blast his name and curse his name. And they defy his word. They defy his scriptures. And they go on and say, oh, I'm a Christian. A young man that I spoke with today, I was standing with his father. He had a whore. When I say a whore, I know it offends you, but that's what she was. When a woman is sleeping and shacked up with another man that's married to another woman, that makes her a whore. I don't care if she has a dress on. I don't care if she goes to church. I don't care if she don't mark herself up like some Jezebel. That doesn't matter. She's a whore. Amen. The Bible teaches very clearly that if a woman is married to another man and you marry her, that you have just married a harlot and you're one with her. Amen. So I just preach the Bible. I'm sorry it's crude, I'm sorry it's rude to you, but I preach the word of God. Amen. But this individual that I spoke with, his daddy had a whore under his arm. and was shacked up with her, and he was intoxicated. And he said, it doesn't matter what you say. He said, I know that I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and if I died tonight, he said, I would make it into heaven. I say, I ain't going to dispute with you. Number one, I ain't going to dispute with somebody while they're drunk. And I love this individual I'm talking about. I've helped him. I've fellowshipped with him. Some of you have fellowshipped with him. But this is what he's saying. It doesn't matter because he's got this Billy Graham ideology. I said the sinner's prayer. I confessed with my mouth. And you ain't going to tell me nothing, preacher. I know that I'm saved. Well, your determination is going to put you into hell. Because what you need to do is fall on your face before the living God with fear and trembling and say, my God, I've sinned against you. My God, I've got a rebellious spirit in me. My God, I've done the things that are so carnal and contrary. Have mercy on me, God. But when I see a man not asking God to show mercy and he's arrogant in his doctrine and his arrogant in his ideology, I'm a Christian, it don't matter what you say. Let me tell you, my Bible said that no drunk is going to inherit the kingdom of God, nor adulterer or fornicator or whoremonger or liar. And the thing is, brothers and sisters, and when a man, it don't matter how many times he's prayed, it don't matter how many times he confessed, it doesn't matter how many times you baptized him, when he is sleeping with another man's wife, he is a whoremonger, and he is an adulterer, he's a fornicator, and the Bible says that they will not enter into the kingdom of God. So we've got to find out what God is, who he is, and what he's doing, and what his word says. It doesn't matter what I think, it doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what the theologians think. The only thing that matters is what the Word of God says. Amen. And if we're taking the Word of God and we got our own private interpretation of it, I'm telling you what, you're in danger. It's not for private interpretation. It's not for the way you think it reads. It's not for the way I think it reads. It's for the way it reads, brothers and sisters. And it's plain and it's simple. We got new Bibles and we've got all of these seminaries and all these kind of things that want to give you all the footnotes, and they want to take and water the Word of God down. Let's read the Scriptures for what it says. Amen. And we can read it and we can analyze it. We can understand it. And the Bible said these things need to be spiritually discerned. And you ask God. You say, God, one of the gifts is discernment. And I'm asking you, Lord God, grant unto me the spirit of discernment, for I can discern these things. You see, this preacher over here around the corner saying something different than I'm saying. I'm saying one thing, he's saying another. This one over here says, I'm of a cult, I'm of the devil. This other one over here says, oh, Brother Rob's all right. The other one over here, it doesn't matter what Brother Rob says. I'm talking about the Bible and the Word of God. And the thing is if I'm preaching something, if somebody could bring Bible to me, I'll submit. I don't care how young they are. I don't care if they got saved yesterday. If they come to me and say, Brother, I read the Bible, and I don't see that I just don't think that you understand this. I say, sir, bring me understanding. Man, here I am. Bring me some understanding. When I preached on the radio, I said it on every service just about. And I said, look, if you're in disagreement with something I'm preaching, I said, man, my phone lines are open. Call me up. Bring the Scriptures. Bring the Word. They don't want to do that. I tell preachers when they visit this church, I say, you know, come to me with it. Talk to me. You know, if you're in disagreement, don't go to my brothers and sisters and tell them I'm in error. That's wrong. That's smiting the shepherd. If you don't think I'm right about something, come talk to me about it. And neither one of us is going to get right. Amen. Amen. There ain't no two ways of interpreting God's Word. There's only one way to interpret. That's through the mind of the Spirit and the mind of God. It's not something that He quit doing. Many of our churches are saying, well, that was happening back in the days of the disciples. That happened back, you know, at the early church, but it don't happen today. Well, they lied to you. There ain't nothing that the early church was doing that we shouldn't be doing today. They walked in the anointing. They walked in the power of God. They walked with the expectation of God to move for them. We need to be walking with the same expectation today. We need to be walking in the Spirit today with an expectation for God to move for us. We need to know that He's still in the miracle business. He still heals. He still delivers. He still sets free. He's still saving. Well, how do you think people get saved, Brother Rob? You know, if you don't believe in the confession with your mouth and believe it in your heart. I never said I didn't believe it. I don't believe in it the way they do. People need to have a confession with their mouth. Let me share a story with you. I heard a young man, he had a drawing from the Spirit of God. The Bible said, first and utmost, no man comes to the Father lest the Spirit draws. That doesn't mean a fancy evangelist saying, I want everybody in here to close your eyes. Close your eyes with me. I don't want one eye looking. None whatsoever. Are you mocking that, Brother Rob? No, I've done that before. But I'm just telling you their way. I was trained in the same way, brothers and sisters. I was a counselor in a Billy Graham crusade. Do you realize that? Dale was too, wasn't you? I remember the guy that came to the church that Brother Dale and I was both going to with our whoremonger pastor, the filthy, perverted, reprobate pastor that we both had for a short season. I wasn't there very long, and you preach the gospel, it's time to leave. You say, that's talking pretty strong about a man of God. I surely wouldn't speak against God's anointing. God's anointed don't strip their wife off like some street-walking tramp for they could move to the front of the line in their diesel truck. Come on now, is that right? Do sons of God do that, brethren? Could you think of a man with the spirit of holiness in him to take and put his wife in some form-fitting clothes and strut her stuff up in front of a bunch of whoremonging men for he could get a different position in his diesel truck to get his truck unloaded for him to go on? Number one, that must be the love of money, and that tells you what kind of problem that is. That's the root of all evil, isn't it? Amen. So that's why I talk like I do. I say things purposely, brothers and sisters, like that to wake people up and get them out of their little sensitive, lukewarm vomit world. You know, and like, oh gosh, you know, we don't want to offend nobody. I'll tell you what, if Jesus didn't offend people, somebody tell me. Come on, he continually offended people. You think that when he come amongst the Sanhedrin, they weren't offended? When he called them snakes and vipers and hypocrites? Isn't that a little bit offensive sounding? And you say, well, you know, I don't know about that. The Bible's talking about offending a little one. This man was a preacher that I'm talking about. Amen. You say, come on, Brother Rob, back off just a little bit. I am. I just don't like it. I've been out there, brother, and I've been hurt. I've seen what preachers like that do to people. It caused me almost shipwreck in my faith. As a young minister and a young man trying to find my way in the gospel and find out what it was, and to come across people like that that wreck up homes and families. And I've seen a lot of that. You think it was just an isolated problem when I was in California, or was an isolated problem when I was in Missouri, or an isolated problem when I was down here in Texas or in Georgia? No, it's a problem throughout the world, brothers and sisters. It's going on everywhere. All men's hearts are fashioned alike. Those preachers dealt with lust, this preacher deals with it. They submitted to it, I'm not going to, with the help of God. Do you think because you're called of God that you're just special to something and you're not going to have to fight against lust and principalities and powers? My pastor is one of the most powerful men that I've ever met. Maybe you met one greater and stronger and more anointed. Okay, praise God. I'm not no competition about that. I hope you did. But I'm just saying my pastor walked in a very powerful anointing and was a very clean and straight man. When a man asked him, he goes, Pastor, you deal with lust. And he said, well, take what you deal with and multiply it by 100, and then you'll kind of understand. And you say, boy, he must have been a wretched man. No, he wasn't wretched at all. He was upright and righteous, but he was trying to explain to the young man. He said, look, what you're fighting against, you could conquer it, because I got to conquer something more times, because I'm trying to do something for God around the world, and every unclean devil in this world is going to come against me. Every single one of them is going to come and try to break me down. He had a vision of a woman that was pleading for help, and he seen her getting sucked down in a cesspool, and he seen her pleading and crying, and he went over to help her, reached out an arm, and her claws dug out and went right into his arm. You understand that? And it started to pull him into the cesspool, and he started rebuking it in the name of Jesus. You understand that? He understood the powers of darkness. But brothers and sisters, if you live in this little religious world that there's no travail, there's no fight, there's no fight against principalities, you're not even born again. Amen. I'm telling you, I'm sorry. When you're born again, you are a soldier of Christ and you're the enemy of the devil. Amen. You understand that? And you know what? A lot of people ain't got no satanic influences trying to drag them and beat them over the head. It's the only reason is because they done submitted to it. You see, I wasn't a threat to Saddam Hussein. He was over there in another country. And you know, our fellow soldiers weren't a threat to him either. But when we went over there and kicked down his doors and his kingdom over there, when we invaded Iraq and we started busting down their highways and started going down, all of a sudden he said, hey, well, these people are a threat. And the thing is when you're walking in your worldly lust and your worldly ways and your religious ways, Satan loves you. You know what? Satan loves to quote John 3:16, and the satanic preachers quote it more than the Holy Ghost-filled ones. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall be saved, amen, and not perish. Come on now. You say, Brother Rob, be careful there, brother. Hey, I'm talking about, are you going to get drawn up? Don't you think that Satan's ministers know how to preach the gospel? Don't you know that they're transforming themselves into ministers of light? It said it would deceive the very elect if it were possible. Amen. But you know, we think, well, they don't know their Bible. Let me tell you something. Satan's ministers carry the King James Authorized. And they got nice clothes on with suits and ties. You better learn the devices of Satan. You understand what I'm saying? We need to understand his devices. We think that if somebody's possessed by a devil, they're going to have a joint hanging out their mouth, and they're going to have long hair, and they're cursing and doing all this. Boy, I'll tell you what, does that deceive you? Don't deceive me. When I see a guy like that, that don't deceive me. But let me tell you something where deception comes in. It's when they get behind the sacred desk. They call it a pulpit, properly named for them, because they're pulling people into the pit of hell with them. And they preach. And they got degrees of theology and doctor's degrees. You say, boy, you make it scary, Brother Rob. I hope so. Because it's frightening to me. Because I see we got churches on every corner in America. This should be one fired up, Holy Ghost filled nation. We should be walking in righteousness and holiness and godliness. We should be a benevolent nation helping these other countries and nations to see what the love of God is. But we, our youth and our generation of people have turned away from the scriptures. Men ain't men no more. They don't know how to work no more. They turn into a bunch of beggars. They don't even know how to hold jobs. What happened to the men? Brother Pete was sharing the other day of something my pastor was talking about, this woman that went to Hollywood. And she got all caught up in Hollywood and got popular, became an actress and everything. And she started dating all these fancy, famous men. All these Hollywood movie stars and all these guys driving their sports cars and their Rolls Royces and BMWs and their Mercedes. And boy, this is it. And this is what she thought she wanted. And she got out there in that thing and kind of looked it over and everything. And she goes, you know what I think a man is? He's the one that comes home with his old muddy boots on. And he kicks them off on the floor. Wife hollers at him a little bit. And says, I told you to take them boots off outside. And then they go sit by the fire. And she said, I miss that. Because she saw that these Hollywood, what a Hollywood calls a man, was some sissy little wimp. I shared this story with a man. I don't know if some of you might be close to my age, but back when I was a kid, I guess somewhere's about 12 years old. Maybe no, I was probably younger than that. I was probably about 10. They used to have a series that come on the televisions in the evening time, and it was called, I think it was called Family Affair. Now, I might be wrong, but they had a man named Mr. French, and they had a little boy named Jody and a little girl named Buffy, or vice versa. And we got the names right? We're going way back now, amen. We got me a memory still, praise the Lord. But I was in California, and I got to meet Buffy and Jody. I'm making a point here, but I just shared a story with you. And my dad made me work when I was a kid. We worked. My friends was out swimming and playing in the summertime. I was at the airport washing airplanes, loading airplanes. He said, don't sound fair to you. I appreciate a dad that makes us work. We got time to swim occasionally and do that, but we had to work. We had a job to get done. I appreciate a dad that makes kids know how to work and to be men. We got a bunch of generation of a bunch of slackers. Slackers. Yeah, that's a nice word. I got to start using that more often. I didn't say worthless scumbags, okay? I said slackers. I had one wanting to fight with me up here on the corner the other day. And because I told him, I said, your problem is, sir, you're a worthless scumbag. And you're a liar, and you're out here begging for bread and robbing from people. And I said, you got more money in your pocket than I do. But back to the story, I said, my dad taught us to work. And I was a young man. I guess I might have been 10 years old about the time or something that program was on. I can't tell you. But I met this kid. I went and shook his hand. Oh my. But I shook his hand and it was like a jello. I squeezed his hand, you know, yeah, I was a macho kid, 10. Well, I mean, I worked. I mean, I knew what working was. I told you, I couldn't wait to get old enough to put these 80-pound bags and then 100-pound bags on the airplane. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I was building a little bit of strength and stuff. I was doing work. Well, I met this kid and I shook his hand and my girlfriend wasn't that soft. I'm telling you, it's like, hey, dude, I thought it would get tougher than that holding the fork, man. This guy might be a black belt in karate today. He might be in martial arts. I don't know nothing about him. He might be sitting here tonight. I don't know. But I just thought, gosh, that guy's soft. You know, and you say all that to say what, brother? Well, the thing is that we've got a culture that is breeding this limp-wristed bunch of sissified men. What do you want to do, Brother Rob? Are you masking? You want to scrap with everybody? No, not at all. Been there down them trails too, but I ain't interested in that. But I'm thinking that if we could recognize what a man is naturally speaking, we ought to be able to recognize what a man is spiritually speaking. I think that there's spiritual men. I think, you know, when the Bible said, gird up your loins. I think that there's men of God that have been filled with the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost, when he said to go until you're endued with a sissy spirit, did it say that? I want you to go to Jerusalem and you tarry there until you get this little feminine, sissified spirit for you could walk around and go, oh, Jesus loves you so much. I think we need to be men. You know, I think we need to stand up for a testimony. No, I don't think we need to go jam Jesus down people's throat. You know, but I think we ought to have a little bit of boldness with us. Amen. When you think of John the Baptist, did somebody tell me, didn't he have boldness? Did the Lord Jesus Christ have boldness? Peter didn't have boldness at one point of his life, but after he got filled with the Holy Ghost, we saw a man that was bold, standing before the people that killed his Lord. And he said, this Jesus in whom you crucified. He said, right there to those people, he got boldness. He got filled with the Holy Ghost. And when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, brother or sister alike, when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you're going to have a boldness for a testimony of Christ. You're not going to try to fit in with everybody. You're not going to try to be popular with everybody. You're not going to be tried to be liked by everybody. If you are, you're lost. If your Christianity is making you popular and everybody like you, you don't know the Jesus that I know. I don't know if I want to know the one you know. Well, the one I know was the same one when they were talking and saying, well, we'd like to sit at your right and we'd like to sit at your left. He said, that's not given me, but you want a drink of this cup? He said, that you can have. Amen. Have you been drinking of that cup? Have you drank of the cup of suffering? Do you think that the attributes of Christianity is suffering? Do you believe that? Do you teach that? Do you preach that? If there's travail to bring forth a child, do you believe that the thing is to bring forth a Christ child, there's a travail? Or are you going to rip Paul's teaching out of the Word of God? The Bible said it's God breathed, inspired by God, and Paul said there's a travail. He said, I travail until Christ be formed in you. But we've got this easy day and hour. Come up here and just say this prayer with me. Gosh, I wish that worked. I wish it worked. Let me tell you something, because you said the prayer, does that mean you could go live like a whore or a whoremonger because you said the prayer? Can you go out and be a social drinker because you said the prayer? Can you keep on drugging because you said the prayer? Can you do that? No! When you said the prayer, it's because you received the conception of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of life. And He came in and filled you with His Spirit. And it gave you the power to come out of the world. It gave you the power to be more than a conqueror. A power to be an overcomer. The power to put things under your feet. It said we could tread on the scorpions and the serpents. You understand that? Why? Because we got power. We went to Jerusalem and we stayed there until we were endued with power. Power to come out of those things. And if today, if you're of the world and you look like the world and you talk like the world and you're fashioned after the world, then you're of the world. And the Bible said that your father's the devil. That's simple preaching, ain't it? God, help me if I'm in error. I know I'm not. But if I was, why can't you just get on board with the rest of them? Because I'm seeing the product that they're breeding. There was a religious council back in the... But it was some sort of a religious council, which is changed and transformed into what they call the Assembly of God. The Assembly of God Church was one of the most powerful Pentecostal moves and things after this outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Been a very powerful work, but I'm sorry it sold out to Satan. I used to be Assembly of God minister. I used to walk with them and fellowship them. I was a Trinitarian. And what the thing is they teach people. I've got some Trinitarian friends. I got some Assembly of God friends. And what they do is they teach Assembly of God doctrine. They go, they send their children off to seminary school to learn how to preach Assembly of God doctrine. Praise God, huh? But you know what? I don't need to go to school to learn their doctrine. I need to learn the doctrine that Jesus Christ preached. And the Bible said if they preach any other doctrine than what Jesus Christ preached, let them be accursed. Brother William Branham, I'm not a message church. I'm not a Branhamite. I'm not a follower of William Branham. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. But William Branham dealt with this council and dealt with these ministers, dealt with the head of the Assembly of God Church. He didn't submit to their doctrines. But this is what the head of it told him back in his time, back in the late 40s. He told him, he said, brother, your doctrine is accurate and your doctrine's right. And he said, and I agree with it, but he said, we've built this thing too big and we can't change it now. What could we do to change it now? Talking about their Trinitarian doctrine. And you say, oh, that started back at, you know, in the Nicene Council, Brother Rob. And I say, yes, sir, it did. I understand that. But the thing is that I'm talking about this move of the Holy Ghost in the nation, the land you live in. They had an opportunity to take the correct doctrine, but they chose another. They stayed with the mother of the whore. You understand that? You know who the mother of harlots is? It's the Catholic Church. And she's got daughters. Do you know who the daughters of the great whore are? The Protestant Church. You say, well, you're Protestant, Brother Rob. I say, no, I'm a Christian. I'm a son of God. Well, you're oneness, Brother Rob. No, I'm a Christian. I'm a child of God. You see, the oneness don't like Brother Rob because I believe in the Father, Word, and the Holy Ghost. And I believe that these three are one. I don't believe in three persons. So the oneness people don't accept me because I teach that. The Trinitarians don't accept me because I preach that there's no other name given among men that thou shalt be saved. And there's no other name, and that's what my Bible says, and there's no other name with the authority to have your sin remitted. It's Jesus and Him alone. And I'm not ashamed of Jesus whatsoever. I had a Trinitarian preacher not long back, and he's rebuking me for Jesus' name baptism. And I looked him right now and I said, sir, I'm not ashamed of the name Jesus. Amen. Let's give Him a hand. Amen. I'm not ashamed of that name. You say, what are you trying to say, preacher? And I'm saying, let's don't try to please men. Let's don't try to line up with the denominational doctrines of this day and hour. You know, the doctrine that you are in might have been founded by a man of God, but it has been perverted over the years. Do you understand that? These denominational works have been trampled and perverted over the years. And they become men pleasers. They get their deacons in there to keep everybody happy for when we get bigger churches, bigger numbers, which means more finance. It's become financial institution and empires. It's what it's become. They want money. You can't get money from people when you offend them. Well, when I start wanting and desiring your money, I need to step down anyway. Need to get you a man of God in here. I preach the gospel. It's your obligation to share and to give the storehouse and the work of God. I preach that. Amen. I don't beg for bread and I don't plead for finance. Amen. I ain't going to begin. If we can't keep the electricity burning, if we ain't got enough faith in God to keep the lights burning, brothers, then what we'll do is we'll get some candles and some oil lamps and we'll preach the gospel. We'll have us a good old time. I could poke a hole in that roof real quick and put us an old wood-burning stove right out there in the middle. I've been in them churches. Amen. You had the real close section was the 70 and 80-year-olds, man. They liked to buy the fireworks warm. Then we went back a little bit and we got the 50-year-olds about 15 feet away. 40-year-olds was about, oh, maybe 20 feet away. Understand that? That's how you set the thermometer in the old wood-burning stove church, amen. Gets a little hot in the summertime, just fan that arm a little bit quicker. You'll be all right. Oh, we wouldn't endure that. How many would you endure hearing a preacher preach for an hour, hour and a half in a hot church when you're sweating? I don't know. I'm going to go find me one got an air conditioner. Well, then maybe you need to go talk to Jonathan and find out what he said. I think he said that's kind of a sissy, ain't it? Hey, I like air conditioning. I like heat, too. You understand what I'm saying? But you know, somewhere we need some endurance. Somewhere we need some strength. Had a gentleman call me up on the phone. He said, preacher, he goes, I'm going to tell you how to do it. He goes, you know, we got to learn to sacrifice. He wanted me to start sleeping on the hardwood floor. And what's his sacrifice? That ain't no sacrifice. Yeah, sure it'd be a sacrifice to throw my king-size bed out and sleep on the floor. That'd be a sacrifice. I think it'd be an ignorant one. Had another woman call me up. She said, the gasoline when we're buying it is supporting this terrorism and all that stuff. And said, you know, the Lord spoke to me, told me to quit driving. And this woman calls me up and started preaching me I need to quit driving. I said, I quit driving, sister. I said, the devil got a big victory because when I get in my car to drive somewhere, I'm about the Father's business. And I could use that car to get somewhere to get the gospel out a little bit quicker. When the Amish want me to ride horses with them, I'll say, you take your horse. I'll see you in a couple weeks, but I'm going to jump on an airplane. Amen. I'm going to take advantage of these things of this world to get the gospel of Jesus Christ out. If it's Google, if it's the radio, if it's the internet, I don't care. I'm going to utilize it to get the gospel of Jesus Christ out. Amen. You know, and they think, well, you know, I got a revelation. Well, that little bit of money that my gallon of gas is going to put in the hand of the terrorists, they done took our country over, our nation over, our schools over, and our government over. You understand? So I ain't worried about them. I'm worried about them losing their soul. I ain't afraid about no A-bomb. I ain't afraid of Russia. I'm not afraid of the Muslim powers. I ain't afraid of none of that stuff, brothers and sisters. I say what frightens me is you people that profess Christianity and say that you're a Christian and you walk like dogs and pigs and swines. Amen. Let's give Jesus a hand. Amen. That's what scares me. Amen. What scares me is when the religious people here preaching like this and they call you a cult and say that you're too hard and that you're of the devil. That's what scares me. Because this is just some good old sound preaching back to some old fashioned ways. Some good old holiness doctrine. Amen. Let's give him a hand. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord Jesus. You're our Lord and our God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I love people. And I know I sound like a vicious old mad redneck when I get up here and preach. I'm not sure what a redneck is, but I guess I sound like one. I'm from California. I don't know if they got any of them out there. I learned to talk like this out here. Y'all love the Lord. Amen. And I appreciate y'all, and I love you, and I appreciate you giving me off tune. I say things purposely. I say purposely. I feel it's from the unction of the Lord. And you might not think so. You know, you say, I don't see God in your preaching whatsoever at all. And I say, that's all right. Pray for me then. Pray that God could do something for me and help me that I can get the gospel of Jesus out. But sometimes purposely say things to shake a tree, so to speak. Sometimes we get in these ruts. And we get in these ruts and we see this and we call this, well, this is the way it is. I could get into Baptist circles. Well, this is the way it is. I had a Baptist man. I confronted him with some doctrine. There's a lot of wonderful Baptist people, believe me. But I confronted this man with some doctrine. And he said, you know, it doesn't matter what the Bible says. He said, this is what I am. I've been this way for 51 years. And I'm not going to change. And he said, I don't care. Well, that's what I asked him. I said, well, let me ask you one more question, sir. I said, just one more question. I said, if I could open up your Bible right there. And I looked at his Bible. And he had a King James Bible. I said, if I can open up your Bible right there and show me what you just said to me is error, would you change? He said, absolutely not. And I stood to my feet and I said, well, that's all I got to say. Because I'm not preaching my doctrine. I'm not preaching my ideas or my thoughts. I'm called to preach the Word of God. I'm called in defense of the Word of God. Now, if you can come to me with a Bible, okay, and we're going to use the Bible as an absolute, and if you bring doctrine to me and Scripture to me and show me where I'm an heir to the Word of God, the written Word of God, we'll sit down and discuss it in a reasonable fashion. I'm not going to get mad at you. I deal with preachers. And what they do is when you're not in agreement with them, they'll turn it into they'll turn it into indictment. And I'll just tell you what this conversation came up was with a man. He seems to have a pretty fair understanding. I was in discussion with another man about taking communion service. I believe in using real wine. Reason I use real wine is because I know that God's blood had power. And it's a representation of that. We drink of this as the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the blood of Jesus had power and wine's got power. And this man told me I was in error. And I said, well, sir, I said, when I read the Bible, I read that wine that they're talking about that Jesus made was real wine. He says, no, it's grape juice. And I said, well, if it was grape juice, sir, let me ask you one more question. I said, why would it said not to be given to it? Do you think God's going to rebuke me because I drank a gallon of grape juice today? Do you think that it's for the strong grape juice? Come on now, let's just talk about the Bible. Amen. Why would he care? He says not to be given to wine. Amen. And if it's grape juice, then why does he care how much grape juice you drink? Is it going to turn you purple? A little wine for the stomach's sake and often infirmities? The alcohol had a medicinal purpose in it. Amen. It's been abused in our culture. And yes, we have alcoholics, but instead it's for the strong. And if you're not strong enough to take a little for the often infirmities, then don't touch it at all. If you're going to drink it and you're going to be a social drinker, then you need not touch it whatsoever at all. Amen. God does not like social drinking. Amen. But when I told the man that I use wine for communion service, he said, the problem is you're a wine bibber and a tipper, he called me. And I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. Like, sir, why are you turning this to personal indictments now? He said, I'm a social drinker. I said, sir, no, I'm not. But you see, it turned into insults. And this is what they do. They start insulting. Why? It's for you know who you're talking to. That's demon spirits. We don't turn things into personal insults and indictments. When somebody's got to personally indict you and bring personal allegations against you, they left the Spirit of God. We got to find the leading of the Lord and the Spirit of God. So we find people that want to dispute. One says, well, I know that I believe in God and he's three person. I said, why do you believe that? Because the mother of all the whores told you that? Can anybody show me in the Bible, in any place, anywhere, that he's three person? Can somebody show me one place in the Bible where they were baptized in the name of the Father? Or they were baptized in the name of the Son? Or in the name of the Holy Ghost, baptized in titles? There ain't a place in there. You ain't going to find it. But then yet these people will get mad at you for telling them what the Bible said to do. Well, do you think God's going to wink on that kind of error and that kind of ignorance? And where did that come from? He said if they preach any other doctrine than what Jesus Christ preached, let them be accursed. The last thing in the commission that he said, the very last thing that he said to his 11 that were still there, one done went and hung himself. Okay? They hadn't brought this other 12th one back in yet. So the Bible clearly says in Matthew 28:19, it clearly said that the 11 were there. Okay, so now we're establishing one fact there, that these 11 were there. These were the disciples that were indoctrinated in what that brother was preaching, or he wouldn't have not have went to the cross. And he said, go ye into all the world, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Okay, well, the early church had that revelation. Is this correct? They had the revelation of what that is. So either Peter absolutely missed it, and he was, according to the Catholics, their first pope. So their first pope must have been an error. Because their first pope went out there and said that you need to be baptized, repent for your sins. You understand that? And be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. In the name of Jesus Christ. This is what he done, and we find it fulfilled all through the scriptures. All through the action of the church, we find that the only way they were baptized was in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of that name. It's the name of my Lord, my God, my Savior. He's my salvation. He's my everything. He's my life. He's my strength. He's my power. He's my God. He's the mediator between God and man. He's the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. There is no other God other than Him. You understand that? That's what my Bible says. Why would we be ashamed of that name? Why would we insult that name? Amen. It said right there in the same passage of Scripture, said there's been no name given unto men that thou shalt be saved. No other name. There's no other name with authority. And then you'll take your people in this three God doctrine. They won't say three God, they say three person. But they take this thing and they say, well, if you want your prayers answered, you need to pray in the name of Jesus. The same Pentecostal Trinitarians will say, if you're going to cast out a devil, you're going to do it in the name of Jesus Christ. That's what they teach you. If you want your prayers heard, you're going to pray in the name of Jesus. That's what they say, but when it comes to remission of sin, you're going to go do it in a title? There's no authority in Father, no authority in Son, and there's no authority in Holy Ghost. Those are titles. But there's authority in that name, Jesus. Amen. The devil trembles at that name. There is no other name. Amen. Let's rejoice in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. He's our Lord, our God, our Savior. He's our salvation. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But see, this is what sets you apart.
Amen.
This is what makes them hate you. The Lord Jesus said this. He said, you know, they hated me first, they're going to hate you also. You preach this and they're going to hate you. And I'm thinking, you know, does this take divine revelation to understand something so simple? And they think that we make things complicated? I'm telling you, I think it's complicated when it says it's so clear. You know, if my son was here and he told Sister Rebecca to go up here to the grocery store and pick up some groceries and he said, put it on my father's tab. When she goes up there and says, oh, I'm putting it on my father's tab. I'm putting it on Brother Rob's father's tab. Well, who's that? You see, the authority is in my name. I'm the one that created a tab, showed myself faithful to pay the bill or whatever. And they say, oh, that's Rob Coons. Oh, okay, we understand now where the authority's at. And if I take somebody down to a water hole to baptize them, I'm going to take them down there knowing what the name is. What the name of salvation is. What the name of my Savior is. What the name of my God is. What the name of the Deliverer is. What the name that brings healing to people. I'm going to take that name. You know, but then they get mad at me. But you see, this is the doctrines of devils. This is the doctrine of Satan. And they do this. And then we get the compromisers. They say, well, you know, I want to make these Trinitarians happy, and I want to make these oneness happy. And they go down there and I say, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name. And I say, somebody slap him. Now, I have said things similar, brother, and I'm saying that because I was wanting to make sure that people understood why the Bible said what it says. I fulfill Matthew 28:19 every time. When I go down there, you know, and I say, I'm doing exactly what Jesus said. I'm baptizing them in the name. The Father sent him in his name. And when he was here, he said that he was going to send the Comforter in his name. Amen. Amen. What is that name? It's Jesus. Amen. That's not complicated, is it? There was one person of the Godhead. It was Jesus. It was the Word made flesh and walked among men. And they say, well, you know, I saw in the book of Revelations that, you know, Jesus was sitting at the right hand of the Father. And I said, no, you didn't see that. You saw that there was a lamb at the right hand. Amen. And I'm going to ask you, is there going to be a lamb sitting there? Or is there going to be a lion? Because he's considered in another place of the line of the tribe of Judah. Is it a lion or is it a lamb? See, we get into figuratives. He come in the power. Right hand has to do with power. If I hired Joe here and I built me a business and I built me a strong, healthy business and I'm the owner of the business, this, that, and I hire him and make him my manager and this, that, and oh, Ed come along over here and I said, and he goes, man, you guys have really done a good, quick work, man. You've only done this for about a year. And I said, well, right there's my right hand man. Have you ever heard that expression before? And you say, oh, no, I believe in literally there was three thrones and there was Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father. Well, you show me somewhere Bible that my Bible said that there's one throne. There's one God, my Bible says. And it said the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, these three are one. You understand that? And it said the earth is his footstool. Now, the thing is, brothers and sisters, you're not going to show me three thrones. You're not going to show me three gods. And you say, well, I'll sure show you three personalities. That's a lie from hell. A personality comes from a person. That's where the word person and personality comes together. You understand? I want to show you the attributes of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the Spirit that brought forth the personification or brought forth the power of God manifested in humanity. And we need that same Spirit today. You understand? Then we become saviors to people. And you say, oh, we can't be saviors. And I say, well, you don't know your Bible then. It said saviors in plural. There's only one Savior, that's Jesus Christ. But we're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. We become one with him. And when you have a man that's lost, and you have a man that's bound in drugs, and you have a man that's this way, and you bring the light of the gospel to him, and you share Jesus Christ with him, and that is salvation, and that man comes out of the world and becomes a new creature in Christ, you become a Savior with the Lord Jesus Christ, because it wasn't you speaking, but it was Christ. Amen. Let's give him one more hand. To preach the gospel angry. You understand that? People are so sensitive. They're so afraid to say something. Oh, you can't say that. When Jesus, he asked him, and I say this often. I say it probably more often than maybe you think I should. But he said, for what good works have I done that you want to stone me? And they said, oh, no. It's not for the good works that you've done, because you're a mere man making yourself to be God. And his reply was what? He said, but isn't it also written that ye are gods? That's what the Bible says. You call the devil the god of this world, but then you're afraid to say, I'm a son of God. Oh, you're blaspheming. Oh, somebody slap him for me. Try and keep my religion. I'm sick of the sissy religions. I'm sick of the watered-down gospel. I'm sorry, brothers and sisters. I'm so sick of the religious vomit. I've been trying to do some ministry out there on this thing they call Facebook, trying to reach some preachers and trying to reach them. And they are so religious and so lukewarm, and they all want to say the same thing. I know the Bible said that we see eye to eye and we don't pierce each other through. And they want to get out there and tickle each other's ear. And they talk about we're going back to the old path and this and that. They wouldn't know the old path if it hit them in the face. Amen. They dress like dogs. They talk like that. They're talking about their football games one minute, and their basketball games and their baseball games. And then they want to talk about the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And boy, we had an outpouring of the Spirit last night. And I said, well, so did the Billy Graham Crusade. And so did Joel Osteen. And so did Oprah Winfrey. She had an outpouring of the Holy Ghost too. Because my Bible said, I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Amen. And it's going to rain down on the just and the unjust. And just because you get a goosebump and just because you speak in tongues, don't mean that you're born again, amen. When you're born again, you receive the Spirit and the power of the living God, amen. And I don't care if you talk in tongues. I don't care if you dance in the Spirit. I don't care if you could quote the whole Bible to me. I'm going to have to see some fruit of the Holy Ghost in your life. And that's the Spirit of power and salvation and holiness. My Bible said, without holiness, no man will see God. Oh, there you go, right there. You think if they dress right that they're that means they got the Spirit of God? No, let me tell you, you put a woman in a long dress and grow her hair out long, you might just have a whitewashed sepulcher full of dead men's bones. But I'm going to tell you this. The Bible talked about a wolf in sheep's clothing, didn't it? What does that mean? What is a wolf in sheep's clothing? I took a Catholic priest and baptized him in the name of Jesus Christ when I was in the Philippines. And then he gave me a picture of him in his priestly attire with his big old monkey suit hat, you know, and his little white collar. He was a Catholic priest. And I said, right there is you, a sheep in wolf's clothes. Oh, that's not right, is it? That's what it was. He just didn't know he was a sheep yet. He was dressing up like a wolf. And you say, you think a Catholic priest's a wolf preacher? And I say, what else do you call anything that devours and kills humanity and people? Oh, don't speak against the Pope. Hey, I ain't got nothing good to say about anybody dragging multitudes of hundreds of thousands of people into hell. Well, they're God anointed. If he's God anointed, I'm going to quit preaching the gospel. You take some pervert running around in his little vehicle and sprinkling water on people, and you say that he's God's holiness? They say vicar, co-equal with God? Come on now, if that's co-equal with God, I'm going to quit preaching the gospel. My Bible said they're going to, you know, they're called of God because they turn people away from their sin. When they keep on ordaining their pedophiles and hiding them out and shifting them from church after church because they like their little choir boys or whatever they call them. What do they call them, Bob? What do they call them little priestly guys? Altar boys. I better quit now, huh? Well, I'm still got some quitting in me. And you say, Brother Rob, man, you're too crude and rude. I love them. I'm not going to go and insult some Catholic priest. I see some of them trying to do something to help humanity and help people. They're just in the wrong doctrine. UNICEF helps people. I don't know who that is, but they help people. I can't remember all them other ones. When I was over there in Africa and going into these refugee camps. But I'm just saying, hey, there's a lot of organizations out there that don't have the Holy Ghost, and they do good things. Yeah, there's good things that could be coming out of the Catholic Church. I like some of the Catholics. They got more morals, decency than some of these Pentecostals and stuff. At least the Catholic Church has got enough backbone to stand up and say, I don't believe in abortion. You understand that? We got some people that call themselves Democrats and they call themselves Christians. Well, I'm a Democrat. Well, if you're a Democrat, it means that you've got to believe in abortion and you got to believe in same-sex marriage. Oh, no, I don't have to believe that. I'm a Democrat, and I don't believe in that. The Bible said that two can't walk together lest they be in agreement, so you just made the Word of God a lie. If you're voting in somebody that believes in killing babies, and you're voting in somebody that does that, say, what are you saying, preacher? We need to vote Republican? Absolutely, I didn't say that. I said, the only thing you have any business voting for is Jesus, amen. My Jesus is my Lord, my God. He's my Savior, my salvation. He's my King. They can have their King. It might be Clinton, it might be Obama, I don't care who it is. Let that be their king. I've got a king. I've got a Lord. I've got a Savior. Amen. I'm sent here to America about the Father's business. This ain't my world. I don't have no business being involved in their politics. Well, I think that we need to talk about politics. Well, that's only if you're concerned about this world. I'm not concerned about this world. I'm concerned about God's kingdom. This world is predestined to one thing, corruption. You understand that? There ain't going to be one rock standing on top of another. This world's going to shake. Your military powers of America ain't going to save you. Your government ain't going to save you. Your bank accounts ain't going to save you. Your 401ks ain't going to save you. There's only one thing that'll save you, and that's Jesus and Him alone. I speak crude, I speak rude, and people think I'm against all those things. No, I'm not against all those things. I'm for Jesus, amen? And that's what I'm going to preach. That's what I'm going to talk about. I don't want to talk about your politics. I don't want to talk about your clubs, your sports. I don't want to talk about your vacations. I don't want to talk about your plans. I don't want to talk about them. I want to talk about Jesus' plans. And when you're a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, your Bible says you'll be about the Father's business. Let's stand to our feet and give Him one more hand. Amen. Well, I didn't read no scriptures this evening. So maybe I'll read a scripture before I close to you, for we can't say we left the Word out. I quoted a lot of Bible tonight. You said, I didn't hear none. Well, that means you ain't got ears to hear then. There was a lot of scripture went forth this evening. Well, I got Genesis 1 opened up right here, and it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Praise the Lord. We're done. Let's close. I wish He would have stopped there. He messed up when He made man. That's where He went wrong. Why didn't He just stop right there? And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. And there was. God saw the light was good, and God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light in the day, and the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And you say, there was the creation of earth. That was also the creation of this earth, the earthen vessel. When God created me, I was without light. You understand? I was without form and void. Darkness upon the face of my deep. He divided that. He divided my soul and my spirit. And He set them apart. And God brought one into the light. And the other one had to do with darkness. He put a firmament between them. This had to do with the body, soul, and spirit. And He saw that the light was good. And the thing is, if there's no good thing in man whatsoever at all. But the only thing that is good is God. And He's good. So when you get the light in you, and you got a singular eye and bring forth and bring your body full of light, then the thing that we see that is good is the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You love the Lord? All right, let's give Him one more hand. Amen. We love You, Jesus. Let's sing a song or two. Praise You, Lord God. Challenge yourself. Examine yourself and see if you be in the faith. There's only one thing to state, and that's your soul. Amen. Continue to remember Sister Martha and her baby. Baby Faya. And we know that God heals from cancer. Amen. And when you see a little 2 or 3 month old baby with cancer and a mama with 5 children eat up with cancer, heart goes out, doesn't it? But my God is a healer, a deliverer, Savior. Doctors don't understand why she's even alive. But God's showing His power. Amen. And He's still on the throne. Amen. Continue to pray for them. Pray for the brethren that have found themselves in prison. Some of them found themselves there through willful acts of disobedience. And God's having His way in it and bringing them to repentance. Remember them. Remember our brothers and fellow missionaries in the foreign fields. Let's remember them, brothers and sisters, and pray for them. Amen. Let's ask God to remove the offense of our lives. We got things in our lives that offend people where we can't bring the gospel to them. When I was in the aviation business, was on a flying job, and I know we're closing. It's over in New Mexico. We hired a preacher for a pilot. He wanted to share Jesus with my uncle, which was a heathen. And you know what he said? He said, I really ain't interested in talking to this man about Jesus. Because he was in the bar with me last night drinking liquor with me. He's in there drinking with me last night. And then today he wants to be on the job and talk to me about Jesus. He didn't want to hear. You know what? I'm in agreement with my uncle. That old man, that old preacher might have been a drunk. But he could have told him something about Jesus. Yeah, he could have told him the truth. But my uncle wasn't interested in hearing it from somebody who didn't have a Jesus with power to take him out of alcoholism. You understand that? I don't want to hear from somebody that their Jesus ain't got him enough Jesus to get him out of the world. My Jesus could take you out of the world. My Jesus could set you apart. My Jesus could strengthen you and anoint you and heal you and deliver you. He could make you walk upright in righteousness. He could make you, like he says in his word, to be peculiar. You know what? I'm peculiar to the world now. Because I don't look like them. I don't dress like them. I was in the mall up here in High Point years ago. And I said, if I could find one father walking through here and his son looks decent, I'm going to walk up and shake his hand. And I did it. When I was a child, my dad was a heathen. He was a drinker, a partier. But you think he would have let me walk through the mall as a kid with an old raggedy holy shirt hanging out? Or my pants hanging down that my backside's hanging out? He would have knocked some sense into me. He was a dad. And I said, if I could just see a dad that's walking through and her child looks normal, I'm going to shake his hand. And I did. There was a man walking. And I went up and said, sir, I want to shake your hand. He goes, okay. How come? I said, thank you for having a normal looking kid. He might have cussed like a sailor. I don't know, but he looked good while he was doing. He looked like what a boy was supposed to look like. Amen. We got to get started somewhere. Amen. You're too judgmental, Brother Rob. I think you judge things too much, and you need to have a little grace. And, you know, you can't judge people because they don't look the way you think they look to and think they don't have God. Well, I beg your pardon. I'm called to judge all things. And I know this, that a minister sometimes, well, absolutely, he's got to bring things to the Word and judge it according to the Word and the doctrine of the Scriptures and the Word of God. And the thing is, the Bible said, if eating meat offends your brother, don't eat it. And I eat meat. I love to eat meat. But if it offends you, I'm not going to eat it because I want to reach you for Jesus Christ. Amen? And so the thing is we've got to be careful. I'm not going to go in the Amish community and try to convert them to get off their horses and drive their vets. You understand that? Hey, I could love them while they ride their horses. I ain't gonna mess with that. You understand that? But the thing is I'd be offensive. And when I was in Israel, it's a shame for a man to have his head covered. Sister's got a hat on. Nothing wrong with that. I'm talking about a man. It would be improper for me to wear a hat to church. Woman, it's perfectly fitting and fine. But when I was in Israel, we wore, what's it called, Dale? A little round hat. But to me, it was against my doctrine. The Bible said it's a shame for a man to pray with his head covered. But when we went into their synagogues, we could not go in unless we had a head covering on. And it had been inappropriate. So we prayed with it. God gives us grace for that kind of stuff. There's things we can show grace with. If I'm asked to go into a Trinitarian church and preach the gospel, you think I'm going to go jam Jesus' name baptism down their throat? I'd be out of order. But I can get that preacher aside and get him in his home, and I can wear him out, amen, and be in the lines of the gospel. Because if I don't convert the preacher anyway, he ain't going to do no good preach to his people. I go into church and preach to his people, and he ain't converted, he's going to come back in and convert him back into the doctrine of devils. See, there's a proper way to do things. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You love the Lord tonight. We're serving a mighty good God. We love you, Lord God. Shout his name out. Let him know that you love him. Let him know he's your Lord and your God, your salvation. Don't be ashamed to cry out. Don't be ashamed to call him by name. Hallelujah. Don't be ashamed to lift up your voice like a trumpet. Amen. Somebody say, I love you, Lord God. Hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. You're my Lord. You're my God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina 27261. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.